Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. During this hour, I wish to portray from the Word of God the mind of God. I want you to meet God's mind in reference to his denominated people. His denominated people. Who are they? God has designated and appointed people as his very own. And these people are identified in the scriptures. The very first man, Adam, who repented before God, was part of God's people. There was Noah. There was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from whom these denominated people would enlarge and become what is entitled the Israel of God. Let us read for the understanding of these things in reference to Abraham first of all. There we go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And there God is revealing his mind to Abraham. Genesis 17, verses 4 through to 9. And he is saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Here is a profound promise made to Abraham. And you see there that the nations that would come from him were to be blessed if they, and here is the important criteria, if, like Abraham, they would be loyal to the covenant that God made with Abraham. Come across to verse 18, because now he's talking to Isaac. Sorry, before we come to that, in verse 18 and 19. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant. This is what I was meaning, that Isaac, God will establish his covenant with Isaac, with him, for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. The promise was to be carried out through Isaac, the son of Abraham, by the birth, by the miraculous birth at his old age, to Sarah, his wife, in old age. So here you can see the covenant that God made with Abraham, with Isaac, and now also Jacob. We turn to a very important expression here in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, where we read verse 13 to 15. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Do you remember the story of Jacob, how he had done this evil in deceiving his father, and now he was running for his life from Esau? And there he was given the vision of in his sleep of the ladder. And at the top of the ladder, the Lord stood, and there in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now follow very, very prayerfully and very carefully what has been promised to Jacob, to Abraham and to Isaac, that Canaan, the land of Canaan, was a place that was designated by God as a blessing to this, the posterity of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that promise that Canaan was to be the land for his people, for his designated, appointed people, that was on condition. And the condition is written in Genesis 26, verses 3 to 5. And this is the words to Isaac. Sojourn in this land. Now this is Abraham, sorry. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I'm correcting myself again, it's Isaac he's talking to. I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now verse 5, why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. On what ground did God say that the land of Canaan would be theirs? On what ground? That they would be obedient to the voice of God, to his charge and his commandments, his statutes and his laws. That was the condition of that promise. And we know very well that as Jacob had his children, there they ended up as the 12 tribes of Israel. Where did the name Israel come from? And there we turn to Genesis chapter 32, verse 27 and 28. Here was where Jacob was afraid of meeting his brother Esau, expecting Esau to be so angry to kill him and his family. And Jacob was there wrestling with a stranger in the night. And then he discovered who this stranger was. It was Jesus himself. And there, in verse 27 and 28, and as this stranger that appeared to him and was fighting with him, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto them, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." The name Israel is given to Jacob because Jacob was the title or his name as a supplanter, and now God had changed his name to Israel. And that word Israel means just what is said there. Thou hast power with God. As a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Israel. And so indeed, we know the story well, how Joseph ended up in Egypt and was the avenue through which God could save the family of Jacob, the children, and they were in Egypt for a long period of time and became slaves. And then as they multiplied in Egypt and they became a nation. Now mark the promise that was given to them as a nation now. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through to 6. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, notice now condition again. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. They had come out of Egypt. They had multiplied into over a million people. And they were making their way back to Canaan, their land that God had promised Abraham. And he would make out of them a great nation, a nation, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and they would be God's peculiar treasure. But did you pick up again the condition? What was it? If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. The covenant that was between God and Abraham was to be carried on according to the promise he made to Abraham that Israel would live in Canaan and they would be his treasure and Canaan would be the special place. It's called Palestine today. So here is the promise. And what was the condition? If you will obey my voice indeed. Question. Has present Israel as a nation been faithful to that condition? The present Israel that is living there and claiming to have this promise of God as theirs, have they been faithful in following the condition that God had given them? Let us hear the answer from Jesus. We come to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. We see what Jesus is saying to the Israel of his time. John chapter 8 verse 37. Reading through to 44. Here Jesus is saying to the leaders of the Israel of his time, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father. You do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. So what was the question? Has Israel as a nation been faithful to the condition that was given to Abraham, and that Abraham was fulfilling that condition? And they, according to the words of Jesus, they were no longer of their father Abraham. They were of their father the devil. That's what we read. That's what Jesus said. At the time when Jesus said that, the 10 tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel had already become disqualified. They were in Samaria. And Jesus was saying that to the woman of Samaria, you remember, at the well, he was making it quite clear that you worship you know not what. They have already lost their direction. Salvation is of the Jews, he said to them, to the woman. But the day is coming when neither in Samaria or in Jerusalem would they be worshiping God, but those that worship God in spirit and in truth. Now here you get a very clear indication of God's mind in reference to who the real Israel really is. So when the Jews crucified Jesus, killed him, because they were the children of the devil, according to Jesus' words, let's go to Matthew chapter 23 and see what he has to say in regards to his foreknowledge in verse 37 of Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 37 and 38. Matthew 23, 37 to 38. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. What's the case of national Israel? their house is left unto them desolate. And in Isaiah 63, the grief of Jesus being crucified and the Jews no longer being willing to be part of him, Isaiah 63, verse 1 to 6, we read the desolation that would be theirs and their country. Isaiah 63, 1 through to 6. Here is Jesus in his blood-stained garment because of his terrible experience. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Here is a prophecy that spans the time of Jesus in Gethsemane and the cross, where his garments were indeed affected by blood, and he is in grief because there was none in Israel who would support him. And so his grief was turned into fury, looking ahead into the future when he comes, and you read it there in Revelation 19 on horseback, where it says his garment was covered with blood, where he is treading the winepress of God's wrath upon the national atrocities. And I want to read these national atrocities that come to their climax in the description of his fury, of his outpouring of the wrath of God in Jeremiah 25, verse 15 to 18. Jeremiah. Reading there, verses 15 to 18. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. So here you can see a sword, a warfare. And I took the cup of the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord hath sent me. Now, who did the Lord send these plagues to? It starts in verse 18. To wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, an hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. And then he names all the other nations as well. So what is the destiny? What is the destiny of an Israel who claims to have Abraham as their father, but who did not meet the conditions that Abraham met? Here it is. They are going to be desolated. Let's come to verse 27, the language here through to 33. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken and spew and fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink, for lo, I begin to bring evil. What's that? Follow carefully. I will bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should you be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Ouch. What are we seeing in the Middle East right now? What are we seeing as to the prophecy here, the destiny of what is coming upon Israel and upon all the nations involved, all of them, what we just read here? It will be a bloodbath of war. And they really believe that they are fighting a war that they're going to win. They're ignorant of the word of God. Their destiny is according to their choice. Their destiny is according to the wrong choice that they have made. Remember our scripture reading? He said, I have laid before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. And what did they choose? Israel has chosen to crucify their Lord, and has chosen to take up weapons of warfare after that Jesus had said there's to be peace on earth through him. And what did Jesus say? He who uses the sword will what? Will be slain by the sword. What you're seeing in the warfare of the Middle East is all according to prophecy. All the way through, God had given them their blessings if they would choose. Let's go there to Deuteronomy chapter 28, just to pick out a few important points, but Deuteronomy 28 is where the blessings and the curses were brought before the Israelites. So there it is in Deuteronomy 28. We read verse 63. The whole detail is summarized here. If they would make the right choice. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, if they would listen to his blessing, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. That was the curse versus the blessing. And by the choice that they have made, let's go back to our scripture reading in Deuteronomy 30, verses 17 to 20. But if thine heart, here it is, if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So the land of promise is what Israel is claiming that they have a right to. And we know so well that the Ishmaelites, the Arab world, is claiming the same land for themselves. And so what do you expect? Both parties are not following the true God of the Bible. They have their own gods, their own ways of living. This is something very important to understand, that what does it mean to worship other gods? You may be claiming to worship the God of the universe, and yet you're worshiping gods of other ways, other nations. And this is what happened in there, in that story of October 7, when they had that music festival. Was that musical festival a faithful religious festival? Not at all. And so the story continues. All these ugly scenes that we are hearing of, they are only going to get worse and worse, because people have not chosen to go for the blessings that God had promised them through Abraham. To love the Lord thy God, to obey his voice, verse 20 there, that thou mayest cleave unto him. A relationship with God that is over and above any other relationship. Many churches today, many Christian churches today, teach that the promises that were made to Abraham and to the Israel of God in the past are going to come to pass. Israel will be restored. And didn't they have a proof of that in their vision? Israel was restored in 1948. This was a miracle. And under the deception of the devil, they sincerely believe that the national Israel is going to be restored to the glory of the glorious holy land that was promised to Abraham. This is what they teach, and they are ready to fight to win that war between the Arabs and the Israelites. Why was Israel restored? Why did Israel have their nation back again? Why? So that Jeremiah 25 could take place. That's why. Not because they are going to be restored to God, not at all. According to what we have studied so far, the destiny of national Israel is what we have read. If that's the case, what about all those other promises? Let's go to Isaiah 45. Let's go to Isaiah 45. Here is a promise that sort of sounds like a contradiction. And many people read the Bible and they say the Bible's got too many contradictions. Here is the curses that Israel is experiencing, and the promises that they're going to be restored unto him. There's many, many scriptures that can be read, but all those restorations are quite a different meaning from God's mind. Isaiah 45, 17 to 25, we touch on this now. Isaiah 45, 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens and the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. Now, this is important language. You that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Now, can you see? Is there a contradiction to what he said about national Israel? But he's talking about Israel. So we need to understand very clearly God's mind here. This is what I shared you in the beginning. We are looking at God's mind that we need to understand in all this. Remember, holy men of God wrote the scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. No private interpretation. So here we read in this scripture the destiny of the Israel of God. Is this not the same as the Israel of the present Middle East? You see, these promises are read in the Christian circles and they claim it's the Israel of the Middle East. We've already read that that has been damned. So what is God's mind and when he says this, which we just read now, this wonderful, beautiful promise here, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Is this Israel that he's talking to? Which one? So, God's mind has already been revealed that the national Israel is going to be destroyed because they crucified Christ and they continued to think differently to God's ways. But we want to look at some more detail now to see God's mind in reference to the Israel that he's talking about here, the promise of Israel, God's denominated people. Let us read detail now in conclusion. Galatians chapter 4. We read a very clear revelation of two different Israels. Two different Israels. And the one that he is promising these precious blessings to versus the one that is cursed. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 to 28. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he that of the free woman was by promise. Remember, that was a miracle. Which things are an allegory. So here, what's an allegory? It's a metaphoric, it's a symbolic situation. This is an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to what? Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou that barren that bearest not, break forth and cry thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now notice very carefully verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Who are the children of promise? Who are the children of Abraham? Who are Israel? Those who receive the gospel. The covenant of grace. And which Jerusalem is the one that is the mother of these people? Jerusalem above. Now, what is the promise that Abraham was given in regards to the Holy Land, the land of Canaan, that he was looking for as a place of a city that he was looking for? Let's go over to read it there in Hebrews chapter 11 And there we can see something very important that many scripture readers and teachers do not pick up on. Talking of Abraham in Hebrews 11, starting from verse 8 through to verse 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city was he looking for? Was he looking for the earthly city? He was looking for the heavenly city, whose builder and maker is God. And so, Jerusalem above is the destiny of the true Israel of God. The Israel that has been obedient to the covenants of Abraham. Let us read again from Galatians chapter 6 and get some more detail here, so we make no mistake to identify God's denominated Israel. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16. And here he says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Because to become a Jew, you had to be circumcised to become a physical Jew. But here, through Jesus Christ, circumcision is removed, but a new creature is introduced. Verse 16, "And as many as walk," now follow very carefully, "as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." What did the Apostle Paul just say? Who is the Israel of God? Those that walk according to the rule of a new creature to be born again by Jesus Christ. That is the Israel of God. The other one is, according to the flesh, is destined to destruction, as we have already established. Let's read some more. Galatians chapter 3. Because those who are born again become new creatures through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians 3 and read there, verse 26 to 29. Let the mind of God be revealed here. What does it say? Galatians chapter 3, 26 to 29. It says, "For ye are all the children of God." You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And now notice verse 29. "And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you get that? Who are Abraham's seed? Who are the Israel of God? Those that have faith in Jesus Christ and have put on Christ. Because the Jew and the Greek and all the other nations, they have no destiny that is given to the Israel of God, the one that is world without end. This is plainly delineated now in these scriptures. Abraham's seed is Isaac, the child of promise, the miraculous child, not the child according to the flesh. And this is so important to understand. Those who become new creatures, those that are not according to the flesh, they are born again of the Spirit. They are the true Israel of God. Let's read it there in Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. Here it is, so plainly stated. I don't know why Christians don't pick this up. What does it say? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Now we are getting to the true Israel of God, good and proper, aren't we? This is God's mind as he has inspired the writers. To these people who are the true Jews, who are the true Israel, not those that are according to the flesh, but those that are according to the faith of Jesus, the faith of Abraham, the faith of the true born-again Christian. To these it is written. Remember what we read there in Exodus chapter 19, where he was saying, then I'm going to bless you and you're going to be my people. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Let's just read that and notice what the Apostle Peter, under inspiration, transcribes from that as to the true Israel. Exodus 19 is what we read there in the beginning. Let's just read it again for our mind's direction. Exodus 19, reading verse 5 and 6. It says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now let's go directly to 1 Peter and remember those words we just read there. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Reading there from verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Yes, you must be born again, yes? That you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Here it is. Disallowed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let's come across to verse 9. Because people who are born again, they are now becoming the true Israel of God, and therefore he says in verse 9, but you who have been born again, you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Here is God's mind. Here is God's promise. For whom? I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Choose. And Jesus has come to earth to help people to choose the submission to God that Abraham had. I will continue on this subject with the Elijah message that I will be sharing week by week following this. What was the Elijah message? Choose ye this day whom you will serve, between Baal and the true God. We will examine what Baal worship is. We will examine all this. But here we are seeing that the destiny of those who are the people who have opened their hearts to Jesus, who have been born again, these are the true Israel of God. The others are not, even though they claim, as did the leaders of the church to Christ, we have Abraham as our father. He said, yes, yes, according to the flesh you have. You are. But you are of your father, the devil. Very interesting discoveries explained here. So the destiny of the Jerusalem and Israel of above is world without end. What was that? What have we come to? What has Christianity come to? Who have truly believed in Jesus and become born again? Where do they arrive? Where are they citizens of? Let's read it in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 22 and 23. But you are come unto Mount Zion. You see, the people of the Middle East who are there in Israel, they are called Zionists. They want to have Zion, the earthly Jerusalem there. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Wasn't that the one that Abraham was looking for? And to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. And Jesus the mediator of that new covenant. So that's where the true Israel of God and its headquarters are stationed. So to summarize, the people of national Israel today, the fleshly descendants, are not God's Israel. The true Israel of God are only those who have received Jesus Christ and been born again, the true Israel. And incidentally, that was what Abraham believed in. He understood his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew of him. And all those that in the Old Testament had a true knowledge of Jesus Christ, they are the true Israel. National Israel, the city of Jerusalem of today, have received their land to meet their destiny, the vials of God's wrath, and they don't know it. And I just want to let the spirit of prophecy give us a final take on the matter. And I'm reading it here from Review and Herald, June 9, 1896, there in paragraph 4, and follow very carefully. Have you ever had the temptation to go and visit Jerusalem? Some Christians, they really would like to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. They go there all starry-eyed, thinking they're doing the right thing. Follow carefully. How many there are who feel that it would be a good thing to tread the soil of old Jerusalem, and that their faith would be greatly strengthened by visiting the scenes of the Savior's life and death. But old Jerusalem will never be a sacred place until it is cleansed by the refining fire from heaven. The darkest blot of guilt rests upon the city that refused the light of Christ. Do we want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? We need to seek out the paths in Nazareth. We need not seek out the paths in Nazareth, Bethany, and Jerusalem. We shall find the footprints of Jesus by the sick bed, by the side of suffering humanity, in the hovels of the poverty-stricken and distressed. We may walk in these footsteps, comforting the suffering, speaking words of hope and comfort to the despondent. Doing as Jesus did when he was upon earth, we shall walk in his blessed steps. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." When the sin-cursed earth is purified from every stain of sin, when the Mount of Olives is rent asunder and becomes an immense plain, when the holy city of God descends upon it, the land that is now called the Holy Land will indeed become a holy place. But God's cause and work will not be advanced by making pilgrimages to Jerusalem. The curse of God is upon Jerusalem for the rejection and crucifixion of his only begotten Son. But God will cleanse away the vile blot. The prophet says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He shall wipe away all tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain any more. The first things are passed away.' And he that sitteth on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" It is my prayer that God grant us to become nationalized into the holy nation of Israel. How do you become nationalized? Take hold of Jesus, be born again, be baptized in his name, and you will be a national Israelite, a heavenly national Israelite, as it was God's purpose all the way through. I do pray God keeps these things fresh in our minds so that we will not suffer the destiny of the world, but the destiny of God's true children. Amen.